Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA podcast.
Really quickly, before we get into this episode, I wanted to mention my Patreon. Patrons get all of the podcasts a week early. I do giveaways, I do some other stuff, but most importantly, if you want me to review your music or artwork or anything else, Patreon is the way to do that. Every month, I do a call for submissions. All you need to do if you want me to review something is just post it in the comments of that post. Then I will review it live on Twitch for the hundreds of people that tune into every stream and post it on Patreon for everyone to check out. All you need to do is just join at the $10 and up level. Stay tuned for that post and you are good to go. So if that sounds cool to you and you want me to review your music, artwork, or anything else, hit the link in the show notes for this episode. And thank you very much to everyone who supports over on Patreon. Adam, welcome to the show. Thank you for making time for this. I know you guys are getting ready for your headliner right now. You just got off the plane from Europe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Thank you for having me. Yes. Landed Tuesday evening. So yeah, we've been home for a full little over 24 hours. So yeah.
Man, you're a trooper. I appreciate it. I do not do well with jet lag and shit like that at all.
Everyone I've talked to has asked me about like jet lag, but because I did not adjust my sleep schedule over there, that I'm still on the same schedule. So ironically enough, like maybe I'm immune to it. Maybe we just travel so much that I've developed a threshold, or did the unhealthy thing by going to sleep at 7 a.m. in Europe or 6 a.m. in Europe, which was my normal sleep time back home. But, you know, who's here to judge?
Either way. Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate it. Tell me about the catwalk. I've been following that on your Instagram story.
So that was the sickest thing I've ever done. And I don't care if like I played like shit. I don't care if like I looked stupid. The fact that like I pulled some big dick like guitar player move out there, like I am ecstatic to be able to do that. Like, and I didn't want to do it at first. But like, so Will was using it and he was like, dude, you got to come up here and do a solo. And I was like, that's not me. I'm not that kind of guy to go out there like in front of everyone. He's like, you got to do it. And like, I was watching like Parkway and like they had like a lift at the front. So during one of their solos in the set, like he literally would like raise all the way up. And I was like, that's the sickest thing. Like I would fucking shit my pants because I hate heights. So to be like going up while you're playing guitar solo, I would be like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. But I was like, all right, maybe I should go up. Let's see how I feel about doing it. And then I went up and like, my legs were like shaking because there's just people all around me. And I'm like, this is awful. But then like, I kind of got adjusted to it and like was the sickest thing ever. And I'm just kind of mad that I don't have a catwalk on this coming tour. So
so now you're addicted. And next it's going to be the Tommy Lee upside down drum set thing.
Oh, if they gave me like an upside down like guitar player harness, it's game over. I would just hang out. I would just hang upside down like a vampire and just play our set. I mean, come on.
Why not? I got to say, before we get into it, that it's very cool and inspiring to see all the success you guys have had, knowing, you know, how many difficult times you've gone through and everything like that. So it really makes me happy to see you guys so successful over the past couple of years.
Well, thank you. I think at this point, we just got used to, or at least me personally got used to that, just like roadblocks are a thing of Lorna Shore. So I kind of accepted it like years ago that like shitty things are going to keep happening. So you got to just get good at like being resilient in some sort of way, because it's just been like the MO for forever. So it just, even as a local band, even just kind of going through, we just got so used to just kind of having to roll with the punches and just take one on the chin. So I don't know. It's kind of like, maybe I like Rocky too much.
But you did that for like 8 years. It wasn't 6 months.
Yeah. Like, no, for sure. It's been for like ever. And like I said, every Rocky movie is like him getting beat up for like 11 rounds and he comes back and wins in the 12th round. So like, maybe I just, my childhood of watching like Rocky too much is just like unconsciously coming out in this.
Well, I mean, for me, like my life didn't really start coming together until I was 34, kind of when I was like 31, but not really until I was like 34. So for anybody listening, you know, just hang in there. It happens when it happens.
Yeah, that was definitely like an early struggle for me when we were like trying to break out, is that like I was always older and I was seeing all these like bands that were like 18 and 19 getting signed and going on tour. And I was like, well, I guess this is not happening for me. So let me figure something else out. And then like 3 months later, we put out a video and got our first ever like full national tour. So like, it was just crazy to think that like that fall, I was like, that's it. I got to figure out a new life plan. And then like released a video and then did our first like full US with like Carnifex in like 2014 and then got all this like interest. So it was just crazy how like life changed within a short period of time.
Well, first of all, let's make sure we promote the new album. Pain Remains comes out when October 14th. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Next Friday.
So by the time anybody sees this, that will be out. Definitely go stream it, go buy the vinyl, do whatever you can. Support the boys and Lorna. I was very impressed with Pain Remains, the two videos that have been released so far. I think that is like by far the best thing that you guys have done, specifically because one of my issues with a lot of modern deathcore, I mean, deathcore in general, but especially a lot of the newer stuff, is that it doesn't feel like it has a lot of emotional weight. Like it's just kind of sick riffs for the sake of sick riffs, which is fine. I mean, I like sick riffs and breakdowns and stuff as much as everybody. But this song, I'll call it one song, even though I guess it's three songs. But like this song and these videos really hits different because it feels like there's actual emotional weight to it.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, unanimously, like anyone involved in the project from like the whole band to Josh to most people at the label, like Pain Remains is everyone's like favorite thing. When they like heard it, like everyone was like, I love the record. And then once like that came on, they were like, it felt like a completely different thing. And I totally agree with you. I think for me, I think what the extreme metal world is missing is a sense of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just authenticity in the sense of like, not like you're doing what you want to do, but essentially just like displaying yourself.
Right.
It feels a lot of like mask of putting stuff out there for the sake of what we think is supposed to be good. Like, I think, you know, lyrical content is written in a way that like is this is what it's meant to be about. And I just and like, you know, even looking at like album art, it's just like it's fictitious creatures in a fictitious place. I'm just like, there's no like relatability to that. And I don't know. I think for me, I just always try to express ourselves in music. And that just end up, you know, those three songs end up being way more emotional. But I think it's just something that I always try to add as a level of emotion to our music because, I mean, it has to come out somewhere. Otherwise, it just bottles up within you. And I feel like being a musician, having an outlet to be able to kind of put that out there I'm grateful for it because, you know, not everyone has that ability to express themselves. So I feel like, you know, through the blanket of Lorna Shore, we get to, you know, express ourselves. Yeah, I just feel like it definitely is missing. It's just missing this kind of emotional, like human element to it. It just feels kind of like wrestling, if you will. Like it just feels like you're putting on this like persona, this bit, you're like speaking about this stuff. You have this feud with this other wrestler that you don't have a feud with. And it just feels very just like forged for the sake of it. And you know, some people react to it and they don't really care. They just want it to be like, I want to hear sick riffs and stuff that were, and that's totally cool. It's just like, for me, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to go down a different path, but yeah, those three songs I think I'm like definitely the most proud of, like collectively with just everything about it.
How are people reacting to that so far? From what I've seen, it seems like everyone is saying the same kind of stuff that I am.
It's really awesome. Like, so these songs came out when we were in Europe. So I was watching some of the videos, some reaction videos or even people just messaging me, and like, it is like super overwhelming and it's really awesome to see like everyone's emotional reaction to it. Like, it's just cool to see people like on video or on stream, just like bawling their eyes out. And I'm like, that's good. Like that's good. It's not a bad thing. It's not anything wrong. It's not anything like negative. It's just cool to see that like our music has that effect. You know, receiving like, for me, the thing that's like the most like humbling is just the amount of messages I receive, like that it like helps people. And like, cause it's just cool because like, I've been in that position, like listening to bands and like feeling a sort of type of way. And it's just like cool to kind of be on the other end of it. Because like, you know, there's been bands that have done that for me. There's been albums that like were the perfect song or the perfect album for that point in time, that like what I was looking for. And it's cool to be on the other end of that. And I'm very like grateful and like honored that people like trust me with some like real deep, like emotional stuff. And it's just cool that just to see that songs that we wrote in Michigan, where I was like having like a mental breakdown, is like giving people like a positive experience in such a like a emotional state. So it's really awesome to see, to be honest.
The mental breakdown, is that what you were talking about on Instagram?
Yeah. Like I was at a very, 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 like one of my lowest points, I think, throughout like last year was just like, it was just a lot of pressure. And it was a lot of just like also other stuff, just all kind of like being this perfect storm. And just like, yeah, I was just really going through doing this record. And it was definitely for sure, like in the middle of doing these three songs, like that was like the songs I was working on while I was like having this like crisis and this like meltdown and this sort of like I got to the point where I was like, I'm flying home. Like I called management being like, I don't care if we don't finish this record, like I gotta go home, or like I'm not gonna be alive. So like, I'm out. And he was just like, what? And I was like, I got to go home. Like, I don't care if we have four songs written or recorded. Like, I don't care if like, whatever, I just like, the band can finish it, do whatever you want. Like, I'm out. I was like, I can't go through this. And it was just like, so much shit going on, from like the pressure of the record, being in the studio, like personal stuff, to just like all this stuff kind of going on last year. And like, kind of ironically enough, came out in these three songs, or I mean, came out the whole record, but like, that's what I was working on at that point in time. And it was just such a like rough moment for me. And like, I could not shake it. And I did my best to like contain it, but it was just really fucking hard. And I'm just glad to be on the other side of it. But yeah, it was a very, very rough moment for me.
So you're doing better now.
Yeah, better. better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was really cool that you shared that, because that was like really shocking to me, just because, you know, I mean, I don't know you, so I wasn't really aware that it got that bad for you. I think it's cool that you shared it, because there's so many other people going through the same thing, and other people have no idea that it was happening to them. I mean, like 10 years ago, I would just be sitting there watching TV with my wife, and like every 5 minutes, I would think about killing myself for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Like you said, there was no reason. In the post, you were saying like, I should be feeling great right now, but I don't. Same for me. There was no reason for me to feel that way, but I would just be like, maybe I should kill myself.
No, and that's what it was. And it was just, that was like the hardest part to shake, is like, the more I was telling myself I should be happy, and like everyone around me was telling me like how proud they are, and like how sick this is, and like your band's blowing up, and you just got an endorsement from like your dream guitar company, and like you're getting on a Bring the Horizon tour, like Parkway Drive tour, like all these like things. I'm just why am I feeling this way? And I would express it to people, and everyone would just look at me as if I'm like just being ungrateful. And I'm like, I'm not ungrateful. I'm just unhappy. And like, I'm not saying that these things are like things to be upset about, but like, this does not bring happiness, because I have like good opportunities. It's just like, I internally was not in a good place. I internally was just going through. And the more I was trying to like tell myself, oh, be grateful, be happy, like you have all these things, like why can't you not receive all these like positive messages? It's like, I was just not in a place to receive it, because like I was going through stuff, and like all these things would just be like band-aids. And it's just like, I had probably a bullet hole through me, and you wouldn't just keep putting like fucking band-aids on it. It would just keep bleeding through.
Stuff money in it.
No, you know? Exactly. Like, it wouldn't work. You'd be like, okay, I need to like heal this. And like,
yeah.
And I think that like, since that time, I've been like going through that process of like dealing with a lot of that stuff. But it was just, and I think that was just the harder part about it, is that like, I knew I should be feeling happy, but like I didn't. And that was just like making matters worse. And I was like really scared for myself. And I was really scared for my life, because like, I never had a lot of those like thoughts come in as often. Like, I would always deal with it, you know, since like a teenager, and like, it would always like kind of ebb and flow and be circumstantial. And I understood where the circumstances were coming from, but it was like, this point was like, it wasn't circumstantial, because it was just more so like on a regular basis, just like having a mental breakdown, just driving somewhere and being like,
right,
I don't know what to do, you know? And it was like the more shocking thing. Cause like, you know, you can understand when you're like a teenager and you got your first like heartbreak, it's like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I listen to My Chemical Romance, got broken up with, like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in that moment.
Feels like the end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Feels like the end of the world. Like the girl that like you had a crush on for a month, broke your heart, like listen to the Black Parade, and you're like, this makes sense. So I understood that, but like in last year's sense, and like through this year, was just like way different experience. Cause it wasn't like girl breaking up with you, Black Parade moment. It was like, I couldn't even explain it.
Yeah. It's like fighting your own brain. You wake up every morning and you're like, would you please stop being like this?
Yeah, no, it 100% was like that. And like, some days were better than others, because like I was so preoccupied, we're so busy, that like it turned my brain off. Cause like, it was like, all right, you have to like get ready for tour and do this when you're on tour, or whatever it may be, and have rehearsal and whatnot. So it was like, all right, cool. Like that would like take my, like occupy my time. Then I would just be like alone driving home and being like, all right, everything that I just like put on the back burner just now just come like to the forefront, just like, okay, what's going on? And then it just like, it was definitely difficult. And then that like fueled a lot of the record. And I was like really like kind of going through that. And again, I was grateful that I have like a band that I enjoy being around, and like everyone in the band, like I love, like Josh is like, was the best, like for me at that point in time. Cause like one of my best friends, a lot of me get emotional right now, but he's like one of my best friends. Cause like he was definitely trying his best to like see me struggle, and was just like trying to like, what can I do to help? So it was cool to have people around me not knowing how bad I was going through it, to like try and help as best they can. So it was just like super grateful that I had people around me. I had like a therapist, I had like like I would call friends, I would call like, you know, my family and stuff like that. And I'm definitely grateful. And you know, but yeah, it was just definitely a super rough moment. And I don't know if like without those like supports of like everything kind of around me, I don't really have the answer where I would be. And like, I'm kind of glad I don't live in that reality. But yeah, yeah. It was I definitely am relieved to have that sort of stuff kind of happening when it was happening.
I'm really glad that you shared that, though, because I think there's a lot of things that people are going to learn from that. Number one is that if there's someone in their life that's going through this, that, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's not rational. Your brain just feels like shit for whatever the reason is, chemistry or whatever it is. Like, it doesn't make sense. And you can't necessarily like make someone snap out of it. It doesn't work that way. And if someone is themselves going through it, that, you know, I've sometimes like felt guilty that I feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't feel bad because my life is good. And I feel guilty because I know there's other people that have way worse lives than me. And I feel like I shouldn't feel bad, you know?
I see that happen a lot. And like the whole like comparative suffering is just useless, in my opinion. Like,
right.
It's like, oh, you can't have it bad because someone else has it worse. It's just like, what does that solve? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think it helps. It's just like, and it feels very invalidating, it feels very diminishing, and just feels like you're just basically just telling someone to shut up because like your problem's not worth it. And I just hear people, I don't think they're doing it consciously, but I hear that like sort of conversation going on, or like, or even that the inner self dialogue, like, I shouldn't be upset, like someone has it worse, like, or you've had it worse at other points in time in your life. And it's like, there's no reason to like invalidate my experience. Like, this is like what my feelings are feeling, like totally like ride that roller coaster. You know, but and I try to like, I catch my friends when they talk to me about it. They're like, oh, I shouldn't be complaining about this. Like, it's not that bad. It's like, well, it is that bad. It's obviously bothering you enough. Like, you don't need to like turn it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to be like, oh, well, like someone has it worse. Yeah, they might have it worse. And like, but there's also like, doesn't mean that you don't deserve the space to be able to like have your experience. So like, yeah, it's a weird conversation with this like comparative suffering where it's just like, I don't need to give time to this thing because someone else has it worse, or I shouldn't be bothered by this because like someone else is in this situation. And we're just like looking at each other with like the sort of like measuring each other up, being like,
do you have it worse than I do? Spreadsheet.
Yeah. Like, do you have it worse than I do? Or do I have it worse than you? Cause if I have it worse than you, like, then you can't talk to me on stuff. And I'm like, right. I have this cloak of like invulnerability to be able to just like spread all my shit everywhere because like, I'm the one that's like the wounded animal. So like, you're not, so I don't want to hear you. And just like, that doesn't help the conversation. Doesn't help people. Doesn't like resolve the outcome of just like people are dealing with stuff. And like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, it doesn't matter if it's just like you're mad that like you're caught in traffic on the way to work. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're angry about it, like you're angry about it. Like, you know, are you gonna complain about it for a year? Probably shouldn't. But like, doesn't mean I can't listen to you for 5 minutes vent about how you got stuck in traffic. You know, like, it is what it is. Like, I think everyone's entitled to the floor. I think everyone's entitled to the light. And I think I don't really feel it helps to silence those because of the fact that we're deciding for them if it's worthy or not to listen to.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. And it's like everyone, especially on social media, everyone has declared themselves the judge of who's allowed to feel a certain way.
Yeah, like the fuck? Who are we to sit there and tell how anyone else can feel? We're not even in their shoes and we're not even inside themselves. And it's something that doesn't even make sense to us and we're going through it, let alone someone else is going to tell me that I shouldn't experience this. Like, what? How does, like, logically doesn't even make any sense. It's like, even when you're in that moment, you can't even make sense of what's going on, let alone you're to let someone else know that like they can't have something, whether it be big or little. Or, you know, I would see it happen with like, I would see like friends get out of like a relationship and then like out of other friends be like, oh, just get over it. It's just a girl. Just like, maybe to them it's a significant situation, or like maybe someone who like loses a job that like, they hated, but it was like a level of security. And it's like, oh, you hated that job. It's like, yeah, but like I put food on the table with this shit job that I hated. Like, I don't know what to do now. Like, I understand that you're trying to help, but like literally just let people have their moment, their experience, and just be a support and listen to someone, because like you don't know what they're going through and you don't know what they're going to do. And like, and I try to give someone that grace, because like, even if I feel it's like irrational or insignificant, that's not my place to decide. One thing that I've always like thought about metaphorically is like, as an adult, I mean, I don't have kids, but if I had kids and, you know, I remember what it's like, again, as I mentioned, having that teenage heartbreak, my parents would be looking at me when they're dealing with like not paying bills, dealing with like bankruptcy and being like, I can't afford this stuff, being like, oh, I don't care that you just got like, you just got your heart broken at 16. Like, it doesn't really matter compared to like what I'm going through. Like, that would be awful as a parent to be to your kid, because to your kid at that point in time, like their world has shattered. And yeah, in the grand scheme of things, when you go through life, like that's not a big deal. But like at that point in time, that was a major deal. You know, that was a major deal. And that definitely was probably a big blow. And like, who are we to decide like the merit of that? Cause to them, it could be the biggest deal in the world. And yeah, maybe when you are in your 40s, you're like, yeah, that's trivial. Like, but to them, it's a big deal. So like, allow them to have that.
I try to keep that stuff in mind. Like, if I'm at the grocery store and someone's like being an asshole to me or something. I'm like, well, I don't know what they're going through. Maybe they just got a divorce. Maybe that's why this guy is so short with me right now.
Yeah, it's always, I think it was a quote. I don't know who said the quote, but everyone's fighting a battle you know nothing about.
Yeah, exactly.
I try to look at that and like not take things personally. Like, yeah, I mean, like you're saying, you can be at the grocery store and just like trying to just do your business and someone's just like really giving you shit. And it's just like, maybe they're just an ass and it has nothing to do with me because they're probably doing it to everybody. But like, or maybe like you're saying, they're going through a moment where like they just got fired and they're divorced all on the same day and they're just like, I gotta go buy milk. It's like, yeah, I'd be pissed too. Like, you know, like,
totally.
So yeah, I mean, rightfully so. But yeah, I try to like keep that in mind. I'm not perfect with it. Like, but there's definitely moments where I'm like, I try to understand that maybe someone's going through something that I like literally have no idea what they're going through.
Right.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode. Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about, which we talked about a little bit on Instagram, I've had the experience a few times over the past, I don't know, year or so. I'm sitting in bed at night scrolling through Reddit, because that's what I do when I'm like kind of winding down. And I see a thread about me pop up with 300 comments about how awful I am. It bums me out. I don't like it. It upsets me. How do you feel about that?
So one of the best pieces of advice I ever got, it was actually our first tour we did with Carnifex. And this is during the time of like Lamb Goat. And it was like, if no one's shit about your band on Lamb Goat, then you're not doing anything right. And I was like,
sure.
I took that into like consideration, because like all the, like every single, like you look at like any tour that would be announced, no comments, you know, no one's going to it. But like if Attila, this is like Attila, like peak right. Attila, there would be like 100 comments of everyone just roasting them. But I'm like, yo, they're like headlining a main stage at Warped Tour. They're probably doing all right. So I try to keep that in mind. So if there is a bunch of people saying negative things about you, like you're doing definitely something right. It's unfortunate, because you were like, well, I feel like I'm adding value, but then like someone else is like then devaluing me because like they don't agree with me. And like, I think that in your position, I feel like it's very weird, because it's just like, you're just, from my understanding, you're just giving your perspective and like your thoughts and what you're analysis on a situation is. And it's like, I don't see anything harmful about that. Like, I don't understand like the anger, the animosity towards it, because you're just giving a perspective on something, or just like kind of even sometimes just even like in our, for instance, like our video was just like a lot of, some of it was just a lot of like factual evidence of like who left, right, and what album came out, like what's there to be angry about. And I've watched a lot of the videos and it's just like, it's either your perspective or it's just like factual information that, and you're just the voice delivering it. And I'm just like, I don't understand the anger. Even if like you said something that like people don't agree with, that's okay. I think I don't want to live in a society, in a world that like everyone thinks the same way, because that would just be really boring and dumb. So like people can disagree with each other and be like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but like, doesn't mean that like you got to be like, all right, everything about them is like the worst thing ever. So I just like, anger towards you, it doesn't make sense.
It's got to be one or the other. Or like for you guys, you know.
Oh, for us, it makes sense. I get it.
Lorna Shore is the best band in the world. Everything they put out is solid gold. I worship the ground they walk on. 6 months later, all the songs sound the same. They suck. This is trash. I'm over this band.
Like, I thought hard about that for a while. Like, we got home from Chaos and Carnage, and that was like the first tour that we released a new song for the record. So Sun Eater was the first song that came out. So that's when I started seeing like the shift go from like EP stuff, where it was like, oh my God, so proud of them. And people were still saying that, but then it just started going towards like, I'm so tired of seeing them. And then it was just like, okay, how do we invalidate this band? And to like discredit them. So for me, I like thought long and hard about it. And I don't really know if this is like true. This is, again, maybe what some, it's a little bit of what you do, just given my perspective. It just, I think the value and joy about underground music is that like you find this like diamond in the rough, right? Not saying that we're a diamond. I'm just saying it's cool. Like when you find the unknown band, right?
Cubic zirconium in the rough, maybe.
Yeah. We're like a shinier rock in the rough, but nonetheless, like you find like that what you seem is like a gem, and then, and you're very stoked about it. And I know what I was like, because when I would find about a band that no one knew about, and then I would tell all my friends, I felt like I was like the purveyor of knowledge. And I'm just like the, you know, just sitting on top of this hill of my, of, I know all the music, and I'm like credible, you know, everyone's gonna come to me for music advice, whatever. And I think there's something to that. It's like, you find out about the band before everyone else does. Then like, you want that band to do good, but like not so good that they get too big. Cause I guess, you know, there's a lot of times where you see bands get too big where they don't sound like their band anymore. And you're like, oh, you sold out. You traded your sound for something else, which I feel like some people may take it personally, cause it feels like you traded us for something better.
Right. It's like getting dumped.
And I don't know if that's happening at all the time, but I feel like maybe unconsciously, like that's kind of how I felt sometimes. When I'd see bands like sell out or whatever, go from like being like this like type of band to that band, I'd be like, oh, so like we're not cool enough for you. You want this like demographic of people. So I thought about that. I also thought about like that, like for me, how I got into extreme music was that like I was an outcast. Like I didn't fit in into like regular society. Like as much as I tried, I didn't. And then I found my way into like underground music. Like I was saying, being from New Jersey, like listening to like Thursday and like Senses Fail and like My Chemical Romance, like I was in the hotbed of all that stuff. And I was like, cool, like got into that, felt more accepted, got into like metal. And then when I started to like see like normal people that rejected me listening to bands that I was listening to, and I was just like, it made me irk. So I'm like, you rejected me. I found like you rejected me for this thing that I'm into. And then now you're saying it's cool. You kind of like tainted this thing because I have a negative connotation attached to you. And I feel like that's kind of happened with the band. Like just regular everyday people are finding out about the band, and maybe those same people are like an image of those who've been casted out and have had to find their way into extreme metal. So,
or maybe that's the story that those people tell themselves, at least.
Right. And that's what I told myself. So, I mean, I don't know if what I'm saying is any landing for anyone, but like I thought about that and I was like, that's just maybe that's what kind of what's happening, or it's just like the joy of the underground extreme world is like being in the underground. Like you don't want to be in the mainstream,
right?
You know, you want to be like that small band. Like we were that band for a while. We were the unsung hero for a while. Like everyone was like, this band is so underrated, so on and so forth. And it was cool to see that. But then like we got a little bit where like kind of evened out. We're like, okay, now everyone's proud of us. And then it went the other direction. We're like extreme the other direction, where it's just like, I'm so tired of seeing this band. This band sucks. Will's not a good vocalist. They suck live. Blah, blah, like every single thing you can just decide. I'm just like, I'm sorry that we just write our songs.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Like there's no conspiracy. There's no whatever. I'm just sorry that we write our songs. And like,
and it sucks seeing that shit, right?
Yeah, it does though.
Like even no matter how much you tell yourself, I shouldn't listen to this, it sucks.
Especially if you're someone that like holds on to words. Cause I'm someone that like, I'm big on like expressing like myself via words. You know, some people are like, everyone has like a different love language to express. And for me, it's words. Like I like to make these giant birthday posts about my friends that like, they'll just be like, I cried. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I'll send a long text message to my friends being like, all this sort of stuff, and they'll cry. I'm like, I love doing that. So like, words are super important. So when someone's just being like all these negative words about like us, it just like, it hits a lot harder than maybe other people. But like, you don't want to see it, because it's just like, all I'm trying to do is just do what I want to do. And like, I'm sorry that there's like such a negative hostility towards like what we do, but it's just like, this is just what I want to do. Like, I don't know. It just, it's not any more deeper than that. Like, I'm not trying to like do anything else other than just like put out our music, put out our art, and like, you know, help people in any sort of way. And like, if it doesn't happen to be you, and like you like some other extreme metal band, like by all means, like spend energy there. If like you think deathcore is like lame, and you're like, I love like old school like death metal, like then why do you care about what the hell we do? Like, go listen to those bands. Like spend more of your energy like on the positive and like the things that you enjoy, and like, because that's gonna do more benefit there than just like wasting your time like here, like arguing about like us. Like, I don't know.
Well, it's unfortunate. I mean, like, the human brain is wired for negativity. Like in psychology, there's a very well documented thing called negativity bias. And if you look at Reddit, for example, which I read, like, I don't read any of the music stuff at night in bed, but sometimes people send shit to me. If you read any of these threads, like if somebody started a thread called like, who are the best bands around, you know, best up and coming bands now, it would get 25 comments. You make the same thread, who are the most overrated bands in the scene right now? Yeah. You get 10 times more. And I think that's a shame. And I really think everybody should make a deliberate effort to sort of check themselves. If you notice yourself going down that road of like complaining about shit or being critical, maybe check that and don't be a part of the problem.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think be part of the solution, not be part of the problem. Like, if you're seeing bands that you think are not getting enough credit, like, go support them. Don't try to like, it's not like it's a pizza pie where there's like 8 slices, and if one has a slice, there's only 7 left. Like, that's a scarcity mindset.
Right.
And I don't think music and the creative space is a scarcity place. It's meant to be abundant. Like, there's so much music allowed to exist. And I don't think it's meant to be like, well, if one person has this, that's one less for everyone else. And if another person has, that means there's a lot less to be available. And it's like, I don't really like to believe it in that sort of sense. And maybe that's delusion or whatnot, but I don't see why what other people do should affect you. And I used to be that way, because I used to feel that like negativity, and I have no problem admitting that. Like, early on in a career, when you would get missed, glance over for a tour, I would take it personal. I'd be like, well, why did this band get it? And then you start invalidating that band. I'm like, well, that band,
right,
this, that, and the other thing, and like whatever it may be. And like, oh, they only got it because like they're managed by this band, or they're doing a favor, like whatever it may be. And it's just like, living in that headspace, just an awful headspace.
Like, even if everything you said about them is true, it kind of doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. Then I started seeing that like, then we would get an opportunity that like someone would come to me about. Like, we would get like a tour, and they're like, I don't know why you're on this tour. And I was like, thanks, man. Like, I don't,
because our booking agent called me and asked, and I said yes.
We got an offer, we said yes, and just like, oh. And so then when I thought about that, I was like, cool. So like, how that guy was being towards me, I was doing to somebody else. I was like, so maybe just like allow things to kind of flow as it's supposed to. So if you don't get a tour, maybe instead of being negative towards that, just be excited that like tours are happening and heavy music still exists, so that right, your music has a place to go, or whatever it may be. Or maybe there's something else you could do in the meantime, or who knows, find a hobby, go to the gym. I don't know. Maybe
touch like, grass.
Yeah, like literally, like find something. But yeah, I used to be that like negative person where like anything anyone else did made, like I took it personally. And I feel like sometimes that kind of happens with this. You see this like defensive mindset where people just argue over like bands and like this sort of like fandom, like sports situation.
Right.
And it's just like in a game of sports, like it's really easy to like argue because you're like, we won, we're, you know, or whatever it may be. But like in the game of music, there's no like who's winning. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, plus you're not in the band.
Right. Yeah. Like literally. Yeah. Like
if you like them, that's cool. And it's awesome that you support them. But like, you're not in the band. You don't need to fight for them.
No. Yeah. And I see people do that. And I'm just like, I appreciate that. Like, you know, we have like supportive like fans and whatnot, and it's cool and all. But like, I don't even think the conversation needs to like happen. Like, there's no reason to like argue over like, are we better than any other band in our genre? Like, no, I don't. First off, I don't see us like that. Second off, I don't think it's healthy. And third, it doesn't even like matter at all. Like, at all. It doesn't matter. Like, there's bands that like, I love all bands, like all different bands. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter where you are in the tour package. If I like your music, I don't really care where you fucking
right,
play at the show. I don't care what tour you're on, what venue you played. Like, that's no concern to me. Like, and I just don't find it useful in today's day and age, where I see this comparative thing, or like I see arguments of like what Lorna Shore vocalist is the best. It's just like, shut up. Our current, like, I would never go to my current, if I had a current girlfriend, I wouldn't go to him being like, just so you know, my last girlfriend, so much better than you.
Yeah. In some ways, but you're better in these ways.
Yeah. It's just like, no, it's just like, I would be like, I'm grateful that you do this thing that like I didn't have. But like, I would never be like, oh, dude, she was so much better than you. And it's like, you would be alone. And like, when you put it, like, why would I, like, people come up to me being like, do you prefer Will or CJ or Tom? And just like, I love Will. Like, why he's like, he's the current vocalist. I love being around him.
We're stoked Will is in the band. Yeah, he's great. Like,
why would I sit there and be like, nah, I prefer the person that's not here now.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
The way I think about it, which is like, I mean, if you've watched my videos, I guess it should be like probably clear. If other people like something, I want to understand why, even if I don't like it, maybe especially if I don't like it. I've made videos about tons of bands that I don't like because that's not the point. I'll use Rammstein as an example. People always get mad at me because I say their name wrong. There's nothing about their music that I like, but clearly there's a lot of people that do like it and they've somehow become successful in America. And that's something I would really like to understand. And I don't have to like it to like respect it and appreciate it and go, maybe there's something there that I don't get.
Yeah. And like, I remember it was years ago when the whole like, everyone would just like, just mention how like Nickelback sucked, right? Like that was like a big meme about Nickelback sucking. And I'm like, I don't really generally care for their songs. Like if I listen to my, like I hear them, I'm like, oh, they're good songs, but it doesn't really like move me. But like, there's a reason why that band is big and it's not some conspiracy.
Right.
You know, like there's a reason why like everyone, like nowadays everyone like tries to invalidate Ghost. It's just like, oh, it's just a gimmick and whatever. I'm like, there's a reason why that band is big. And it's not because of the fact that he wears makeup. There's a lot of bands that wear makeup that would never be that big. You know, I don't really care for Tool, but I understand the validity of why a lot of people love Tool. It's not for me, but like,
I mean, they outsold Taylor Swift at least for a week or two. There's something there.
It's not just because of the fact that they suck. Because if there's a lot of bands that like suck, there would be I can name about 50 bands that would probably outsell Taylor Swift.
If all it took to succeed was sucking, then I would be the most successful person in the world.
Right. Like, and it's just like a strange thing. Cause like I was talking to, I think me and Moke were talking about it on tour. And because he was just like, yeah, I just hated on Ghost for the sake of hating on Ghost. I'm like, there's a reason why they're big. And he's like, yeah, this song is sick. And I was like, yeah, like it's good. And like, I know it's like, you know, it's taboo to say you don't like Ghost nowadays, but like, yeah, there's a reason why the band is big, or there's a reason why like Nickelback is big. And there's a reason why like all these bands that exist are big. It's not because of the fact there's some sort of conspiracy.
Right.
It's because of the fact that they're good, you know, like it's people are reacting through music.
Ghost is such a good example of that sort of thing of like the sentiment flipping. Cause I remember when they came out in 2010 or whatever it was, every blog and magazine and stuff was losing their shit about how great Ghost is. And everyone wanted to say how great they were. And then after they became successful, you know, 4 or 5 years later, it's the opposite.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
The band didn't change, really. I mean, a little bit, I guess, but not really.
No, it evolved like as bands are supposed to. Like, you know, it's like, but then again, then you have the constant dilemma of, do you write the same record? But then people go, they just write the same record because that's where we're in. We just write the same record.
Right.
And or do you evolve where everyone just goes, oh, they sold out. So like, what line do you toe? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you toe the line of like evolving, which is what I think that band has done? Or do you just stay stagnant and have everyone just write you off being like, it's the same band, same album over and over and over again?
That's why I thought Pain Remains, the songs, was so good, is because you did exactly that. Like, it definitely feels like evolution, but it still sounds like Lorna. And like, that's such a difficult thing to nail.
Yeah. I think like to touch upon the whole record as a whole, it's like everyone just like, oh, it just sounds like the EP. It's just like, yeah, that was the point. We did three songs. We wanted to go into the record being like
a year and a half ago. It's not like that was 10 years ago.
Like literally the EP came out August 2021. We were in the studio November of 2021. Like we literally didn't, we did one tour on it. So like, we're still like feeling great about this.
Still the same band.
Yeah. We're still feeling great. Like it hasn't been that long. And it's just like, yeah, we wanted to continue doing what we're doing. Like it hasn't been that long. We want to pick up where we left off. So like, everyone's like, it feels like it's the same thing. It's like, I kind of want to just continue doing what we're doing. I'm not looking to alter the formula, if you will. Right. I'm literally just trying to just continue what we're doing and pick up where we left off. But I mean, I'm glad that it seems like Pain Remains feels like a little bit of that evolution while still feeling like Lorna Shore. So that makes me feel good because like, that's good to know. But yeah, it's just the metaphor I constantly always talk about, any one of my students would hear me say this, is just that like, when I used to teach, I would always be like, writing songs or writing an album is basically like having the same marble, like Greek marble, like statue. And all you did is you put the hammer and chisel down when the record was done. And the next time you write, you just pick it up and you're just like, just making it more refined and making it look more like what you want it to look like. It's not like every record you get a blank slab I don't think that, because then every record's going to sound like a completely different band, which you don't want. You want every record to still feel like your band. So I just feel like you're just kind of just picking up where you left off, being like, all right, cool. You can kind of see the outline of this woman's face, and she has no arms and looks like she might be wearing a toga. But the next record, you can really see it defined, because you understand yourself a little bit more, and you understand your sound or your creative process, or what you can do, what you can't do. And then I just feel like every record is you just chipping away and chiseling at this one statue and becoming more and more refined, versus doing a whole brand new statue every single record. And that's just kind of how I've always saw it, was, and I just see how that the evolution of the band is. Cause like you look at Ghost, it still feels like Ghost.
Sure.
But it just feels like it's just becoming more and more evolved to just be a better version of themselves, which like you kind of, that's what you expect as human. So why not as a band?
Well, on that note, my understanding is that you once said, and I might be wrong about this, that you would never have clean vocals on Lorna Shore. But Will is a pretty fucking good clean vocalist. What is your stance on that in the current year?
So I think that like when it comes to clean vocals, I've seen a lot of people fall flat on their face in the worst way possible, because it's a cash grab, right?
Almost never works out, but sometimes it does.
It does work out, I think, when it's done authentically. I think anything works out done authentically, right? I just think singing is the extreme version in our world. So it just feels very like polarizing, like, holy crap, you know, versus like
they want bot rock.
Yeah. Like it's very extreme. And for me, I just think, I'm not saying I'm opposed to it. I think in the past it was just like, we didn't have anyone that like really could sing. So if we were just like, oh, let's just put singing because no one can sing, it's just like, well, that's a bad idea.
Right.
Now that I know Will is obviously more capable of that, but it also just needs to be where it's the right part. And the rights, because none of these songs singing would make sense over. It would be like, it would be jarring. It'd be like, this doesn't work, you know? So for me, having a vocalist that's capable of doing it, it might be an idea that I might do, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, and maybe it's something that we have to like try out ourselves and go, do we want to do this or not? You know, like, I think it's kind of hard to tell when you don't have like the song in front of you.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not going to rule it out and say I'm opposed to it, but I'm more open to it now knowing that we have someone capable of it. But I also don't know if I am someone to write a song that would be fitting of that, because I don't want to just like jam it in there.
Or go to some producer who's going to write a song for you specifically so that you can have clean vocals in it.
No, yeah. And that, because I'll tell you right now, people think like the metal fan base or any sort of fan base is dumb or stupid. They pick up, they're smart. Yeah. They sniff that shit out from a mile away. They know right away, like you're onto something, and I can see it. And I've seen this happen time and time again. Like, they've caught you, and it's good. They hold you honest.
Yep. It almost never works out. Like, Bring Me the Horizon pulled it off, but that's because it was authentic.
And it was also an evolution too. It was over a period of time. It wasn't like Count Your Blessings to That's a Spirit. Like, I was talking about that on tour not too long ago, or same with like Architects or whatever, any of those bands. It's like, it was constantly going, gradually doing that. Or like, even like Whitechapel, like they started gradually implementing it, and it felt organic. It felt authentic. It was like the right song. It wasn't like Phil was doing singing vocals over a song like This Is Exile. Like, it doesn't, that would right. that would not make any sense. But it was like on a song where it was like more of acoustic or of a clean song, I think on Off the Valley, and like that makes more sense. It's more fitting, you know. Like, I think if we have the song that's more fitting on, I would be open to trying and seeing how it goes. But you know, I think now I'm a little more open to it, because again, as I keep saying, we have someone that is capable of doing it.
But it does go badly more often than it goes well. Way more often.
It does, because it feels just like it's done with like the intention of like, this will get the band bigger. And I'll tell you right now, never, even when we thought about doing that like years ago, like, oh, because you're desperate to like try to get the band bigger. You're like, what do we need to do? Like, I've tried things and like it didn't work. And what worked was just like being yourself and just like sticking to your guns and like believing what you're doing was the thing that like kind of got us more opportunities.
To the Hellfire is one of your filthiest songs. And that's the one that really made the band take off.
Yeah, no, like, and it was just crazy to me, because like I think about this all the time. I think about this all the time, and I'll never forget it. We were in the studio working with a producer, and he was just like giving us a bunch of rules. Like, you need to have this long of a song. You don't need these parts. You need to like dumb down your songs, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, why? He's like, oh, I want to get you more fans. And I was just like, in my head, I'm like, there's no guarantee in that.
Right.
And then ironically enough, we didn't write a 3.5 minute long song. We wrote a 6 minute long song. There's 3 breakdowns. There's no clean vocals. There's a bunch of nonsense. Like, there's just, it just nonstop the entire time. It is.
The mix is just ridiculously filthy and noisy in a good way.
Yeah. And then we got 2 arena tour offers. So you explain right. that to me, Mr. Wizard Genius Producer Man. And it was not Josh. So just so you know, I don't want to be like, oh, Josh, what is wrong with you? Like, no, he was the guy we ended up working with after that. That kind of led us to Josh. it was just crazy, like, seeing the opposite effect that, like, what Josh was saying when I explained that, he was just like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, just do whatever the hell you want to do. And I'm like, oh, you're my best friend. Like, you're just like, just go ahead, lean into your insanity. And that's literally what that song and what that band is. He's just very much just like, you guys, like, he knows us, who we are as people. You guys are a little bit crazy. You guys are just high energy from New Jersey. Adam, you're a little bit neurotic. Like, just lean into that significantly versus, like, having us be a different band makes no sense. And, right. And I just feel there's no guarantee that, like, adding clean vocals or not adding clean vocals or dumbing yourself down or putting three breakdowns or making weird animal noises. Like, there's no variable that's going to make your band big. It's just like, it's the whole thing in its entirety. So it has nothing to do with clean singing.
You could put out an album that sounds like Nickelback and you're not going to be Nickelback.
No, we won't be Nickelback because, like, we're not Nickelback. We're Lorna Shore. And, like, I'm not trying to be Nickelback. And I don't think that I can draw influence from it. I can go, what are they doing that I can, like, adopt? I mean, and I was doing that on this tour, like, this last tour. Like, I never done a tour with a band like that puts on a show like Parkway Drive. Like, it's not just here's lights on a stage. Right. It's like, there's a catwalk that gets on fire. There's a concussion. there's all these stuff.
It's like Iron Maiden up. Type shit.
It was insane. There was an intermission where violin players came out. I was just like, oh, this is like a show. This is not like bands in a venue. This is right. like a full on show. And I was just trying to be like, and I was like watching their crowd interaction versus ours. And I was like, what can I take from this situation that I can, like, not go, let me just follow that formula. But I was like, what can I learn? Because if I learn nothing from the situation, then, like, other than we played big shows, it's more so than I don't think I gained anything. I want to be like, what can I learn from being here that I can apply to the band to, like, do it in our own sort of sense. And it was just cool to, like, watch that and cool to see that, because it's just like, that's a band that evolved. That a band went was like a traditional, like, old school, like, metalcore band that's just like now, like, just like a modern day massive metal band, like, in Europe. Like, it's insane how big right. that band is. And, like, it's rightfully so, because when you're in that room and every single person in that room knows every word to the entire song, like, that's something to be said, and it's not by accident. And it's not like they're doing anything inauthentically or inorganically. Like, it was very much, it still felt like Parkway Drive. It just was an evolution. And I think that's just kind of where I'm at when, and whether it be with clean vocals, whether it be, doing songs with no breakdowns or don't do anything that's as harsh or do more like sad emotive songs. Like, I don't know the answer to it, but I'm just going to do what we think is best. And if it makes sense to have Will sing, I'm going to support it 100%. But if it's just like, we're throwing it in there because we're like, this is going to get us on a bigger tour. Like, we'll never do that.
Right on. Well, I will let you get on with your day. Thank you very much for making time for this. Good luck with the album. I'm certain that people are going to love it. And I will catch you guys when you come through Seattle.
Oh, you're coming out?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'll see you in Seattle.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.